Next guest here in studio. It correlates with an anniversary you've certainly been hearing about on NPR and more. 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11th moon landing. Dina Weibel, professor of anthropology at Grand Valley State University. You've conducted extensive research on space exploration and religion. This is kind of a big deal that we've got going on anniversary-wise. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you, Shelley?
Yeah, doing fine. Did you want to be an astronaut?
Oh, my gosh. Of course I did. I was in utero during the Apollo 11 landing. It gives everybody an exact count of my age. But I was really big into the shuttle program as a girl, and I would have definitely gone into space if I'd been given the opportunity.
Thank you for that. Professor of anthropology, what's been your career journey?
I started out studying pilgrimage, which is something I still study, so sacred places and why people go to sacred places. Mostly, I've done research in New Mexico in the United States and several shrines in France. But I've always been interested in space exploration. Didn't hurt that my husband used to be a historian at the Johnson Space Center. And so when we got together, I peppered him with questions about religion and space. And as time passed, I became immersed in his space culture. And I'm now very comfortable there doing research myself, studying the religious aspects of space exploration.
And you've been doing that pretty intently over this past semester or so, yes?
Yes, I was on sabbatical during winter semester 2019. And I traveled quite extensively during that time period. I was at a NASA Human Research Project Investigators Workshop studying and talking to space doctors in January. In February, I was in Florida where I interviewed a retired astronaut, a retired Apollo technician, and another space doctor. March saw me interviewing people at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California where they make all the cool probes that go out without crews and study space. And then I went to the Vatican. Oh, and I also went to the Mojave Air and Spaceport while I was in California with the private space industry people. And then 4 weeks in March and April at the Vatican Observatory, which is the Pope's own group of astronomers that are legitimate astronomers, as they would be, publishing in peer-reviewed journals and the like, and maintaining a Jesuit community at the same time.
Let's get into this topic of space and religion. Talk about the role religion has played. What, for many astronauts?
Definitely for astronauts. If you remember the early days of space exploration, it was the United States versus the Soviet Union. And because the Soviet Union were officially an atheistic state, it became really important for the United States program to sort of position itself as the religious state. And so that's where we see things like Under God appearing in the Pledge of Allegiance and that kind of thing. And a lot of the American astronauts early on were quite religious. And there were events that happened that people might remember. So Apollo 8 in 1968, when the men were orbiting the moon for the first time, they read from the book of Genesis about the creation of the Earth. Apollo 11, the anniversary is coming up tomorrow. Buzz Aldrin was the first person to consume any food, any liquid or solid on the surface of the moon. And what he consumed was communion. He had gotten communion wafer and wine from his minister at the Webster Presbyterian Church in Houston and brought that up with him in his personal preference kit and took communion right after they landed.
I don't think that was well publicized or allowed
Not
to be.
Not at the time. The Apollo 8 Genesis reading was actually countered legally by Madeline Murray O'Hare of American Atheists. And so after that, NASA was sort of tamping down the religious expression of the astronauts, keeping things a little bit quiet, but it didn't mean that religiosity in space ever stopped. Astronauts, like anybody else, come from a wide variety of religious traditions. And because it's a stressful business, they definitely turn to religion while they're in space.
Any differences men versus women here?
Not that I've noticed. Of the astronauts I've interviewed, a couple, one who was a man was not religious at all. An astronaut candidate I interviewed wasn't religious at all, but she wasn't American. So that was interesting. But the majority of them have had some kind of religious belief, as I'm finding, too, with astronomers that I've spoken to in general, engineers that I've spoken to in general, except at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, where the people I've spoken to there, and I will say it's not a huge group, I would put them in sort of the humble agnostic perspective, where they know they don't know everything, so they're not willing to make a statement one way or another when there's so much left to learn.
Do these voyages resemble sacred pilgrimages?
They do in a lot of ways, especially the voyages to the moon. So in both cases, you have this distant, and you could easily say with the moon, sacred destination. Think about how much the moon has been a factor in different religions throughout history. It's this unattainable glowing light in the sky, definitely is interpreted as being in the heavens. And to get there is an incredibly difficult thing. A lot of pilgrimage locations are in difficult to reach places. You'll find them on tops of mountains. You'll find them on the sides of cliffs. They require climbing. A lot of people die during pilgrimage. And so that idea of danger is something that makes a pilgrimage destination more appealing. And certainly the moon has that. People often leave pictures or mementos or other objects behind when they go on pilgrimage to show they've been there. And definitely the astronauts who went to the moon left a lot of things on the moon. Some of them were not symbolic. Some of them were just practical. Like, we don't want to keep this waste on the lunar lander, so let's just leave it here. But you have astronauts leaving statues and photographs and pictures of their family or writing their family members' names in the lunar dust.
Imagine it's there as we speak, huh?
Probably, yeah.
I did the Camino de Santiago,
a bit
of the trail, 8 days of it, 7 days of it, and that was pretty special.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I've studied a lot of pilgrims who've done that particular trail. My main field site in France, Rocamadour, is between two of the Camino paths, and so I would get a lot of pilgrims who were shifting from one path to another and taking a break in Rocamadour, and it was a fascinating journey.
Buen Camino. There we go. A couple minutes left. Several astronauts, I'm sure, have felt closer to a higher power once in space. Is that a take-home message?
Definitely. There are several astronauts who've written autobiographies, and some of them, Jim Irwin is a really good example.
No relation, darn it.
He had such a strong religious experience in space that when he returned to Earth, he started something called... I think it's a Higher Calling Foundation. And he became very interested in finding Noah's Ark and spent the rest of his life looking for Noah's Ark in the mountains of Turkey after he returned.
Wow. Well, much more to talk about, but bottom line, to be reminded that there is a big anniversary tomorrow, 50 years ago, that Apollo 11 moon landed. And thanks for continuing this conversation, Dina Weibel, Professor of Anthropology. How do we find out more about you and your work?
Well, you can find me at GVSU. I also have a website, dinaweibel.space. Dina is D-E-A-N-A. Weibel is W-E-I-B-E-L.space. And you can find it online pretty easily.
I'm older than you. I watched that moon landing. Take care.
Thank you.